Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, I feel like we're really sparse this morning. Like, you need to sit closer together and feel like there are more of us. Glad that you are here this morning. Pastor Jeff and Jean are on the mainland on vacation, so I get you all to myself. Myself. I have multiple selves, apparently. So this morning for the gospel, I had us read from Luke 16. I want us to hear, can you not hear me? Well, I will try to talk louder. My microphone was really quiet earlier, too. Can you turn it up? Thank you. So I want us to hear from Luke 16 so we don't miss that passage today as well. If you come back this evening, when you come back this evening for our Vespers service, you will hear a little bit more of a homily and reflection on St. Michael and All Angels Sunday. But today, let's talk about Luke 16. So we had this story about Lazarus and the rich man. Now, if you can remember just from a few moments ago, this story, Lazarus was so poor that he ate scraps and the dogs even licked the sores on his body. His life was very difficult. But then we had this rich man who had absolutely everything he needed. He had food and wealth in abundance. Now, the story isn't necessarily about wealth or money. It continues on with them going to their respective places. The rich man went to Hades, we heard in the parable, but Lazarus then went to heaven to be with Abraham. I also don't think the story is necessarily about Hades and heaven. I think the story is about something bigger and probably something more important. So to break it down, we're going to start with talking about money. There's an image I found on Facebook that was actually a bigger story, but the caption is what caught my attention, and the caption was this: if this, the United States, is going to be a Christian nation that doesn't help the poor, either we have to pretend that Jesus is just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that he commanded us to love the poor and serve the needy without condition, and then admit that we just don't want to do it. Right? Hits you right there. So perhaps we wanted to have a conversation about whether or not this should be a Christian nation or not. We're not going to go there. But if we say we are Christian people, and we don't help the poor, then we do, I think, have to pretend that Jesus is as selfish as we are, or actually didn't mean what he said. Or acknowledge, I think, that we just don't want to live by the gospel teaching that Jesus proclaimed. Because I don't think Jesus is selfish, and I don't think he didn't mean what he said. I think he meant it to the core. The decisions we make about money and what we do with the money we have, no matter how much or how little, make a big difference in the world. And that can be with the charities that we choose to support or be a part of, but also the choices we make when we go shopping, the vehicle we drive in, the clothes that we buy, the coffee that we drink, every single decision we make makes a difference in the world. And I think even today, especially today, more than many years ago with our growing global society, that every decision has an impact, large and small. There's a passage from 1 Timothy that reads, "Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money," says 1 Timothy, "is the root of all kinds of evil." It's actually in Scripture. We say that sometimes. We don't realize it's in Scripture. "And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains." As I said when I began, I think the parable that Jesus said in this gospel for today was about money, but really more than that. I think this parable is to help us to remember when wealth or greed or just plain preoccupation with money takes over. It blinds us to those in need. The rich man is not condemned for being rich. I think he was condemned and sent to Hades in this parable because of his ignoring the plight of Lazarus. It isn't that he wasn't aware of Lazarus because he asks Abraham to have Lazarus bring him some water. He saw him and yet didn't see him at all. Even in death, in the midst of Hades and fire, the rich man is thinking of himself rather than thinking of Lazarus or anyone else. He did nothing to help Lazarus, and now he wants Lazarus to come to his aid. So I wonder, as I'm reflecting on this, how it impacts us, I'm wondering, how do we ignore or disregard people or groups of people around us? Or how is it that we pretend others don't exist, those who need our help? Who is it that we ignore? Is it people of a different color, people of a different faith or language or way of dressing? Is it a people with mental illness or people without adequate work or people who are homeless? When we ignore the needs of other people, when we see ourselves as somehow more superior, I think we miss the grace that God is offering to us. One of the problems, I think, with wealth is not the wealth itself, but it's that the things that money can buy somehow numb us to the needs of others and those around us. It's like when we have enough, we forget what it's like to be without, or perhaps have never had the experience of being without. Many of us, I think, would rather not have that shopping cart right outside our church doors. Partly it's an eyesore, but it's also a reminder. It's a reminder that we live in the midst of a city with homeless people everywhere. People who don't have a roof over their heads. Our shopping cart is a reminder to us that 48 million Americans every day are food insecure and suffering. If you do the math, that's 1 in 6 Americans. 1 in 4 children don't know where their next meal is coming from. I don't know if you follow me on Facebook, I posted a video about the Panera CEO doing the food stamp challenge. Did you see this story in the news recently? The CEO of Panera decided to do the food stamp challenge. Some other big people in companies are doing this. They're saying, can I live on what food stamps would give me every day? So he decided to live on $4.50 a day for food, which is what, $25 a week. And perhaps there are some people within our congregation this morning or in our wider congregation that have to do this every day and don't get the attention that the CEO of Panera did. But he brought attention to it. And he said $25 a week is almost impossible to live on. He said at one point he had to go to the grocery store and go and ask the clerk what his total was because he thought he was over his budget. And he was. And he said he realized that he couldn't even go into his own restaurant, Panera, and order food because he didn't have the money for it. And so from his experience, he decided to open Panera Care cafes. He said these are restaurants, just like any Panera restaurant, where you walk in and you order your meal and you can sit down and have a meal that someone else prepared for you, but there are no prices on any of the menus. He said, when you walk in, if you can pay for your full meal, you put it in that sort of bucket thing that they have on the counter, and if you can pay for the whole meal, put it in. If you can only pay for a portion of it, put what you can into the bucket. But having a restaurant where everyone is treated fairly and with dignity, and having a meal prepared for you is a gift. It brings all of us to the place of equality. When Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter through the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, I think it's because plenty of us, those who are rich, those who have sufficient or more than enough, we start imagining that hard work and some luck is all that we need. When we have more than we need for basic living, I think it's easy to pretend that we don't need anyone else or even God. We forget that we don't have anything to do with our own luck. We don't have anything to do with what we have. Yeah, we work hard and we can maybe get ahead, but every single thing can be taken from us in just an instant. When we no longer feel compassion for other people, when we lose that compassion, I think we also lose something of our own self. We forget that each person is valued. Each person is equally loved. Each person has, I think, the divine right of having basic needs cared for. And I think as we become more and more aware of the needs of others, more engaged in the life of other people and those who are, quote, different from us, we become more responsive to the people who are hurting. And as we listen to the hopes and to the dreams and to the worries of others, we become more aware of our own humanity, our own need, and our own pain. And we become aware and give thanks for God and God's love and God's grace and God's peace that is equal for each part of creation. So this parable, Luke 16, is not necessarily about money. There's a little even mention of angels in there. It's not necessarily all about heaven or hell. It's something more. This parable is a reminder that each of us makes choices in life. It is a reminder that when we ignore people in peril, we ignore a part of God. We too are all human. We are all in need of the same forgiveness and love and peace. We are all called to live in ways that recognize and respect the humanity of all people, showing that love and grace that we are shown in Christ. For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.